I guess vacation week's over. Welcome back. Tonight we're going to discuss the most famous passage in the entire Sefer HaChinuch. We have mentioned it once before, 7 months ago, when we began this series, and as it's on Parshas Bo, it's appropriate to talk about it again now, with a little bit of a different focus, and that is Mitzvah Tezayin. Technically, it's a mitzvah not to break a bone of the Karban Pesach. And that was it. That was the mitzvah. But in passing, Sefer HaChinuch describes mitzvah after mitzvah relating to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Karban Pesach, and Chametz, and Matzah, and Maror, Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, and so on and so forth. And for each mitzvah, he says, Mishershi HaMitzvah, the important thing is to keep in mind, Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim, Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim, and Tfilin, and goes on, Bechor, goes on and on and on. At some point, the Sefer HaChinuch says, you're probably wondering, if in reality these mitzvahs are all geared toward the same thing, well then why do we need all these mitzvahs? Why is it so important we have so many mitzvahs centered on remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim and the miracles that took place at the time of the Exodus? And the Sefer HaChinuch talks about the most important theme running throughout the entire Sefer HaChinuch, really his understanding of mitzvahs as a whole, and that is the idea that mitzvahs, the actions that we do, change us. In order for a person to infiltrate into the thick skull, some thicker than others. But in order for a person to truly change their values, for a person to become more aware of certain Yiddish ideas, faith in Hashem, those are not ideas a person could just magically wake up one day and say, I believe in Hashem now more than yesterday. Unless a person does something concrete. The Sefer HaChinuch coins the famous phrase, Acharei HaPa'ulos Nimshachim. The soon-to-be famous phrase, Acharei HaPa'ulos Nimshachim HaLevavos, that after a person's actions come the heart, comes the feeling, comes the intellect. A person cannot just simply believe, or certain values cannot just certainly pop up on their own. A person has to do actions. And we have a more important value system, a certain aspect of Yiddishkeit that's more important than others. Like Yetzias Mitzrayim, the foundation, there are so many mitzvos. There are so many things, actions, that a person has to put on, and to wear, and to say, and to do, and to eat, and not to do, and not to eat. And in that way, a person, acharei ha'pa'ulos nimshachem ha'levavos, a person actually changes. And here the Sefer HaChinuch goes off. He refers back to this passage 8,000 times in the next 600 and so mitzvos. This is the idea throughout the entire Sefer. Everything we do is meant to change us, to make us more sensitive, more compassion. Any idea toward emotions, toward intellect, toward values, the actions are what changes a person, what actually gets a person to update themselves. And here he describes that a person who's a good person, a good person in terms of values, but engages in unethical activities, either because the government makes a person do that, or because they need some money on the side and they start innocently. Over time, he promises you, he assures you, over time you will lose your value system. Or a person who doesn't believe in Yiddishkeit, doesn't believe in mitzvos, and engages shelo lishma, eventually he promises your heart will start to follow your actions. A person who finds that there's a disconnect between their beliefs and their actions would like to believe at some point, I'll get around to doing the things I think are important. But unfortunately, he points out most often it's the things that we are doing that will eventually poison our mindset and we'll stop believing in those things being important at all. This idea in Psych 101 is known as... No? Known as cognitive dissonance. Dissonance is a fancy word for disparity. Sorry, fancy word for difference. It's also a fancy word. Right? The purpose of understanding cognitive dissonance is when there is a gap between what a person believes and what a person does, very often they will not change what they do to match what they believe. They will update their beliefs to match what they're already doing. Hey, if I'm not doing it, it must not be that important. Hey, if I'm doing this, it must not be so bad after all. Cognitive dissonance was really first coined in the 1950s by a researcher named Leon Festinger, who found a very interesting study. He had people who were engaged in a very boring task. He had them twisting knobs, or he had them lining up spoons and pouring them out and lining up spoons again. It was intended to be a monotonous and intentionally boring task. At the end of the task, he asked them to tell the next person coming in, you know, could you just do us a favor and tell the next person how interesting it was, how entertaining it was, how wonderful it was? And they either gave him $1 to do so, or they gave him $20 to do so. And the ones who were paid $20 to lie and tell the next participant, you're in for a real treat, it's a really exciting, wonderful activity, afterwards were asked, how did you actually like the activity? And this person said it wasn't so interesting. I got paid $20 to lie about it, but still it's not so interesting. But the people who were paid only $1 to lie about it, after doing the task themselves and being bored out of their minds, and being paid $1 to lie about it, they actually rated the task as more interesting than the first group. What they concluded was, when a person tells a lie for $20, they ask themselves, why am I lying about this? And they say, well, I know why. Dinner. $20. That's why I'm lying. But lying for $1? Why did I do that? Why did I say something like that for $1? You know what? Maybe the part with the knobs wasn't so boring after all. And those spoons, man, those spoons were lined up and poured out. It wasn't as bad as I thought. The person does something over and over again, and it has a disparity, a dissonance between what they believe and what they're doing. Eventually, they're going to update their beliefs and say, you know what, if I can't explain why I'm not doing it, maybe it's not so bad after all. Or maybe if I'm doing it, maybe it's pretty good. Maybe it's something actually interesting and worth using. In Psych 101, it's an interesting idea. Only recently, I've learned about many interventions to help people that actually use cognitive dissonance in a very practical way. A lot of treatment now for eating disorders, which is actually not just only affecting young women, affects older women, also affects boys as well. Eating disorders and problems with body image are something that's really infiltrated through the culture, through magazines, through a certain thin ideal. People have this perception of what a body should look like, and inevitably, when people fall short of the photoshopped, edited, unhealthy models, they feel sick, they feel bad about themselves, and they deprive themselves of eating and do terrible things to their bodies. The treatment, one of the treatments for eating disorders, it takes a dissonance approach. There's something called the Body Project, which focuses on getting young girls and other people as well to practice dissonance, to practice doing things that buck the trend, that go against that ideal, even if they don't believe in the opposite of the ideal. They'll have them write letters to someone else, trying to convince someone else not to be overly concerned with weight, as long as they're healthy, but not to be overly concerned with dress sizes. They don't believe it themselves, but try to convince someone else. They have them smash scales, like bathroom scales. They have them smashing scales parties. They have them look in funhouse mirrors and make them look extra big, and they have to sit there and actually allow themselves to sit with that feeling. They do actions contrary to that which they currently believe. And this, more than anything else, allows people to change their mindset. Again, it's very hard to ask a person to undo the cultural influences to change the things they already believe in. But if you get them to do the opposite of these things, it's important to see how this actually plays out in our daily lives. We can't do things contrary to our beliefs and be surprised that we change over time. If we find ourselves currently uninspired, this is the time to take on something and watch as the inspiration comes. Acharei ha'pu'ulos, nimshachem ha'levavos.